curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Sones, and I'm here with Ron Kitchens. How are you today, Ron?
I am awesome.
That's great to hear. So I am really excited about this week's podcast, Ron, because it's really a follow-up to last week, or part two of last week. So we had a breakfast here in the office for what is called our First Leaders Breakfast, and it featured leading ladies. And last week we got to hear the first part of that leading ladies panel, but today we're going to get to hear the second part of that panel, which got a little bit more interesting in the second half. So if you listen to the first one, you're not going to want to miss the second half. Is there any teasers that you want to throw out there, Ron?
Yeah, I think you're right. The panel was more interesting, which is kind of typical with these. You know, those that listened last week know that our panels are an interview format. And so, you know, you kind of do the softballs till everybody gets comfortable. And then we really got into some incredible things, you know, this idea around working mothers and their experiences, mentors and advocates and kind of gender stereotype in the workforce. You know, and I'm old enough to remember where our industry was all men. If there was a woman in there, she had a secretary title. And business was that way. You know, growing up, I can think of one senior business leader that I knew prior to the age of probably 28 or 30. And today we are so blessed that the world has changed. But unless we have these kind of open conversations, we're not going to change enough. And, you know, at Southwest Michigan First, we're a woman-led organization. You know, there's six members of the management team, and I am the only inferior member. I'm the only guy on there. And it is a blessing to me to be around so many amazing people that just happen to be women. And I think this panel reinforces that.
So just to recap who's on this panel, because they introduced themselves in the prior week. So we had on the panel Anita Mehta from Stryker, Kathy Beauregard from Western Michigan University, Amy McLean from PNC Bank, and Danielle Anderson from Miller Canfield. So let's listen in and hear what these ladies had to share with our audience.
Any other questions out there? Yeah, question here. Yes?
I have a question. And speaking of like what men can do and just on that topic still, can you think of people throughout your career, men in particular, who have been not necessarily mentors, but more advocates in helping your career in those instances where you might have faced adversity or it might have been a challenging moment, who did listen or maybe spoke up, and what kind of instances were those? Or were they people that you were close with, or was it just like a partner or a peer or another leader?
Boy, I can think of a great one. I actually have had the honor to work with seven different presidents at the university. Well, you can imagine. Well,
nine?
I don't know. There's some in-betweeners. We had some reincarnations along the way. So one of them, I can tell you, was a difficult time for the university. It was a difficult time for me in making a decision. We needed an answer. And it really was a president who was not here, was not going to give an answer, wasn't actively involved in this, but we had to do it. Happened to be an event. We had some Board of Trustees members there, some other individuals. It had to do with coaching staff change and what had to happen that fast. And basically, the president didn't want to give me an answer. And I knew it was an interim president. The answer wasn't going to come right away, but I honestly had to make a really risky decision. And I think we've all been there. We all know those risks can either be really high rewards or they can be great, big, bad decisions. So I actually had to make one do it without the president, which was really not my style, nor the president's style, where I had, be honest with you, a Board of Trustees member looked me in the eyes and said, trust me, I have you on this. So I had to go, okay, I trust him, but then I know what I'm going to have to face on the other side of this when that president's aware of where things are. Now, it's not typical because usually the presidential working way is not that way, or it was in a different. But I will tell you, he did not leave me hanging. He absolutely, and till this day, continue. I will never forget that chance that I had where I had to go, oop, or wait for this, where I knew, and to this day, he's been exactly the same to me on the commitment that I had or didn't had. And it's really uncomfortable. So it can be, I don't know if any of you have some of the same situations where a boss may say one thing and another one you know is another way, and you don't necessarily want to go to a different one to get a different answer. So you create your own. But I can tell you there's times where you have to go by your gut and you have to believe. And if I'd gotten, I could have really ended up either way on that. It ended up being the right decision for the university and for the necessity for our student athletes and coaching staff.
Anybody else want to jump in on that?
I believe that having mentors, advocates, whatever you want to call them, of both genders is really important, especially if you're in a male-dominated industry. Because there may have been women that came before you and you're sort of taking their path, and that's great, but having someone, male in particular, if you're in a male-dominated industry, to lift you up and push you to the front, so to speak, whether it's in a meeting, whether it's sort of stopping the conversation and saying, hang on, give her a second, listen to her, is really important. Finding that person can be difficult. However, for me, I've had the most luck, interestingly, with partners, with gentlemen that have daughters.
Go ahead, Anita, jump in.
So interestingly, along my career, I've had great male managers over the years. I've had some great peer-to-peer relationships that definitely were impactful, and they helped build my reputation. And actually, one of them smoothed the way for a new position. So all that's great. But I will tell you that when you think about someone to be your advocate, lift you up, make sure you're in the right meetings, make sure you have the high visible projects. For me, that person's been a woman. And it's been an amazing, I think it's unique and it's very hard to find. But that's been an amazing relationship once you find that person.
Do you find on that, Anita, because I agree. So there's a difference between a mentor and an advocate. Absolutely. A mentor says, let me help you, tell you you're wearing the wrong shoes. You need to take this class. You need to do these things. An advocate says, we're not going to have this meeting unless she's in the room.
Yes.
And I want her presenting or him presenting. And when you're not in the room, is the one saying, yeah, she needs to get that job. We need to promote that. But do women do as good a job on that today as they should?
Probably not. Probably, I think it's unique.
And that's my sense, that I think women, they didn't see it happen, and they weren't in the room when it happened, so they don't know what the behaviors are that their responsibilities are.
Perhaps. I think also, though, at least at Stryker, we have quite a few female leaders at the very top of the organization, right? When you look at our SLT, our diversity is wonderful. There just aren't that many of them, though. If you think about our employee base around the world, we have 34,000-35,000 employees. I think they're not as good at it as they could be, but I also think there's just a lack of quantity to have a female advocate.
There's a quick hand in the back. Yes, please.
Okay, so I'm in an industry where it's very male-dominated while we're in the financial industry. So what advice would you guys have for women that want to be in an industry that is so male-dominated? Because we're having a hard time finding more women to be in the industry, but they'll be great in it. So what advice would you guys have? I'm sure you guys face a lot of those same challenges about finding those women to bring them in. What advice would you have?
You're there.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Honestly, if I were to give you any advice today, I would say more not to seek the success, more to seek the value. Value is a level of importance. And again, going back to everybody here, you know, what we've all said is great advice. In addition to that, I think going in and knowing again your value, and just making sure you stay focused. I think it's really important sometimes we focus on this particular task, right? Well, that things happen, change happens, leadership happens, people change, people grow in different positions. If you're not grounded in yourself, that foundation that you build within yourself, it makes it very hard for you to go to other places because you are so focused on this particular task. Instead of focusing on the task, focus more on you and what you bring and that value you bring. But don't so much seek the success. I honestly would more seek to be of value. I think that level of importance that value brings.
I know Patty Poppy at Catalyst shared with us Patty Poppe is the CEO of Consumers Energy. And the one thing she said on that, that I was one of the most profound things that ever been said from a catalyst stage when talking about her career, is she did the hard jobs. That she was offered head of marketing for Europe. And, you know, beauty, and it came with a clothing allowance. It was such a good job. And instead, she went to Akron and ran the nighttime paint division, painting vehicles, because her goal was to be CEO, not in a marketing job, that she wanted to run the company. So she did the hard jobs. And it was one of the most profound things. I've probably sent that clip to 100 women who are friends of my daughter. And I know they actually showed it. My daughter works in New York for an ad agency, and she showed that clip of Patty to her team and about what it means to lead. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I another quote I listen to a lot. So, but one, to your point on that, there's a quote that says, if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. But if you do what is easy, your life will be hard.
Well, go ahead and tweet that.
No, but if you think about that, I mean, really think about that. If you always take the easy way out, is that really what you want? In order to grow the world that we have, the things that you want in life, you have to risk. You have to take risk. And again, that comes with that foundation that you build within yourself and that confidence that you have.
May I add? I think you were getting to a little bit of the pipeline issue. Yeah. Right, which in the law, it's drying up a little bit when we're trying to attract women and minorities within the law. So, and I'm sure the financial industry is the same. What we've tried to do is get to people sooner. We are going into, frankly, we are going into high schools. As I'm a commissioner on the State Bar of Michigan for District F. That means nothing. That means this corner of the state is District F. That's what I represent. But we're going into the schools at a much earlier level. Previously, we would wait until college and say, hey, you know, you should come to law school. That would be great. Here's what you can do as whatever your ethnicity is, or, you know, as a female or that sort of thing. We're now doing them in the elementary schools. And we're getting to folks in middle school and saying, you have options. So it's a little different than I see this person who would be great as an attorney now. But to try and plant the seeds so much earlier for some of these professions, it's hard work. It's hard work, but we are dealing with that in the law as well, most certainly.
I would say another thing is you have to always remember your team building. It is not about Kathy. I am only good about those that are around me that make us great. Mm. And that to me is huge. I think you all have to kind of feel as coach. I actually did that. But you need to feel as if you're the coach. You want to, when I hire people, I want people that are better than I am. Areas that I recognize, I need help over here. I need somebody stronger over here. This is an area that I want. I'm the type of leader that likes to be told things that I may not want to hear. Not the kind that you just have to walk in and butter up. I mean, I don't want that. I feel that. You can tell that. Every now and then you have to manage that. But you always have to remember you're leading a team. And in to do that, you have got to make sure you're not blaming others or taking all the credit. So sometimes there have been times when I've had to step in and, you know what, that was my team. We made this decision. I should have evaluated this different. I mean, but not that, you know, come on, are you kidding me? You're the weak link on the team. And until you figure out how you're going to work with me, you know, I mean, it's just in finding people around you. They want to see that you have a team. Those involved in the recruiting process and the working process, find those that's where their talents are, that you want representing you, but make sure on the visit, you're not sticking them for an hour and a half with the most negative person that you would ever want anybody to be around.
Oh, give them a book on emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
After that conversation.
Yes.
So yeah.
Right. Let me ask a elephant in the room question. So at PepsiCo Australia, they call the practice leaving loudly. At Southwest Michigan First, we call it CEO of your own responsibility, but you all are moms. Whether we want to believe we're enlightened in our society or not, women mothers in the workforce have different responsibilities than men do. It just is, you have more caretaking responsibilities. The weight is heavier on a working mom than it is on a working father. My observation in 35 years, how do you, in PepsiCo, that is working moms, everyone puts everything on their calendar. And when you're leaving to go to a school event or take a kid to well child visit, or you're going to the gym,
everybody knows you're doing it, so it makes it completely acceptable for everyone to do that. Here, you actually will get in trouble if we find out that you aren't taking care of your family, you aren't leaving loudly. We want to know and we want to celebrate those things. So how, coming up in your career, did you manage that tension, that friction of, hey, I'm a complete person,
yeah,
and my responsibility and role looks, even though we may have the same title, my role and responsibility is different than yours. How do you manage that? How do the women in this room learn from that?
So true story. So
because I was tired.
True story. No, when my daughter was a toddler, so we, everyone's life path is different, right? So I'm not going to go into the whole story, but basically when my daughter was born, we decided that my husband was going to be the stay-at-home parent. So literally since she came home from the hospital, my husband has been the stay-at-home parent and I've been the working mom. And that doesn't mean, though, that I don't want to go to the well child visits. That doesn't mean that I don't want to at some days drop her off at daycare. And I can tell you, when she was a toddler, I used to outright lie. I used to outright lie. Thank God we had buildings across the Kalamazoo campus, because I'd say, I've got a meeting at Instruments. I'll be back in an hour and a half. And I was really going to a doctor's appointment, because I learned one time when I told the truth where I was going, the woman looked at me and said, doesn't your husband stay home? Why do you need to leave to go to the doctor's appointment? And I knew from that point on it was not acceptable. And so for a couple years there, you know, when they're young, they have a lot more appointments, right? They mm-hmm. they drop off as they get older. I will tell you today, we don't have a tagline like leave loudly or anything like that. But I will say that I'm a true believer. We are a global company. We are not an 8-to-5 company. If you're in a role where you're dealing with different divisions and different locations, time zones don't matter. You have to figure out how to make it work. The notion that if you're at your desk from 8-to-5, you're having the biggest impact is just ridiculous. And thank goodness at Stryker, we've evolved outside of that. And it is very much own your own career, own your own calendar. If I'm not being successful in my role, it's going to come out in the wash sooner than later. Whether I'm in the office, whether I'm traveling, or whether I'm working out of my back porch, which I do a lot in the summertime because I've got a great. So it doesn't really matter where I am. I'm connected through my phone, through my laptop. You can get me almost 24/7. Pretty much the only time I don't answer is when I'm sleeping, given a couple hour window. And that works for me. And, you know, that allows me to take 2 hours off to go to first day orientation of middle school or whatever it is. And I am unapologetic about it. And if somebody asks me, I will tell them. I don't leave necessarily and like yell as I'm walking out the door. But if you ask me, I'm absolutely going to tell you where I'm going. And we have so many women now that are on flex schedules, right? Not necessarily working part-time, but they're on flex schedules, which means they can drop their kids off. They can pick their kids up. You know, they are making up hours in the evening or on the weekends or whatever works for them. And as long as it works for the business, it is fine.
Yeah. And to work in a culture that allows that,
yes,
and supports that,
absolutely.
I think it's really fortunate. And to work for a leader, managers. I think, Anita, you make so many great points. Setting a precedence, letting them know, family, you support. You know, I think it's real important for leaders and managers to understand their employees. You need to know about them. You don't have to know all the details, but it's important for you to know they do have small children, and you have to really understand that. And understanding that means, to your point, you know, if there's a meeting or something that has to happen, you allow that and you support it. But I also think being accountable to it and being accountable just as an adult, knowing this is my schedule. Everybody's is different. Just to Anita's point, you know your own schedule. You know what you need to do in a day. You make it work, right? And you have to just be accountable to what you have to do at work, but you also have to be accountable to your family. When you have happy employees, they are more productive. It is a fact. So I know that leaders will want to ensure that they understand their employees and understand their passions and understand that there is a life outside of work.
But
and it's okay.
How do you have that hard conversation? I see young women in this room who are beginning their career, and I'll pick on Rachel. So Rachel, I've known since she was in fourth grade, I think. So she was one of Kelsey's friends. And I've seen Rachel grow into this strong, amazing woman who I know is going to have an incredible career at Stryker. But at some point, she's going to have a child, and there's going to be that discussion. How does a young woman have that discussion on what those boundaries are if she's not seeing that from a male work environment? How do you have that and say, I am a complete person? without derailing your own career.
Right. And we have we are a 24/7 operation. I mean, you have coaching that goes, and you have families, members that you might not see for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So the prioritization of what you can do and setting that is really important. One story I always thought that was so important for me, I was so unique that the meetings we'd go to, and my husband was in education, and he chose to quit coaching at the time we had a son and said, okay, we're in this together. And literally my job became our social. My job became our social experience. Coming to games, being around the athletes, going. The education that I felt my son got, which is amazing today for me to kind of watch. A perfect example, you're 5 years old. You start ASO soccer. The coach stands up there and says, oh, we don't keep score. All the parent meeting, right? Team meeting. Don't keep score. It's not important. Doesn't matter who wins. Everybody gets a thing. And my son raises his hand and says, it is important you win because my mom fires people when you don't win. So you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's me. But on one hand, it was a very interesting lesson. Yeah. But I will feel today that one of the things I'm most proud of is not only my son, but our male and female student athletes can see that an athletic director could be female elite. Yeah. Because that isn't what it used to be. So the messages you're sending to those, but the message you're also sending your staff is so important that that become a part of. One other quick story. We always had the same woman volunteer when we needed somebody over break to answer the phones, to be there. She'd be there late. Always the same one. Finally, one time I said, I'm doing it. I'm not going anywhere. She literally looked at me with tears and said, let me do it because I have nowhere else to go. So for her, that's how she could really give and do was that. And she didn't want that taken away because it taught me more about why we need to know those that work with us. So it is important that if I just hired a 28-year whippersnapper women's soccer coach who bops in with her little hair, you know, like the, doesn't dress up for a conference, doesn't dress up for the press conference. You know, the messy bun thing is really fun at that age. So, you know, how I deal with her, and she walks in, you know what she did? She walked into the team, and I went to introduce them. She said, I don't need that. And she went around the room. She's never even met the team and named every single one of those players. Well, can you imagine the vision that these players had? I'm like, well, I'm out of here. Doesn't need me for anything. So it's important that you do communicate your fam. Don't hide it. Mm-hmm. Share what you have, and you hope that you're with a place that will be accepting of that, absolutely, a part of that, involved, especially when everybody has different hours and times and places. So don't be afraid to share it. Find out what that is, but find out if you can. Before you even start working for that, what kind of environment
you really have?
So, specific advice for Stryker, but it probably will translate to some other companies as well. Know your resources, right? We have a Stryker Women's Network. Make relationships there and figure out who advocates can be. Be very clear about what you want. Figure out what you want before you go have the conversation. Be very clear. Use your HR business partner, right? Alongside your manager, your HR business partner should be the next most important person on helping you in your current role and also finding your future role when you're ready for that, right? And if you have a manager that is not giving you what you want, you know, be a part of that process to help your manager evolve. And if that still doesn't work, wait a year, you'll have a new manager because everything is right for changes. No joke. I am not kidding you. I'm 19 years at Stryker, and I think I've had 24 managers. It's not a joke. Yeah. Change happens very fast. We move people around. I've had probably 6 different careers at the same company because we move people around internationally, different businesses, to get different experiences. So that, it's funny, but it's true.
Yeah. And let me tell you something I just have to say that I couldn't be more proud of right now. Guess who was at Stryker 25 years ago giving the diversity and inclusion speech?
That was before my time.
Diversity and inclusion was a woman in itself. I'm being very honest here.
Yeah, no,
telling you, for me to hear this today, it's like, oh my gosh.
It's a journey.
Because I would literally go in and talk and teach, not see any women, and then I'd have some of the management look at me and go, I didn't get that. Could you go over that again?
So correct me.
So I'm just telling you of a proud moment.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Amy, because at one point we were at the same business at Stryker. Were we not only one of the only two women, but brown people?
Oh.
This was it. That's a whole nother breakfast conversation.
That's a different thing.
That's a whole nother It's like the two
many
of us.
Times in the entire business.
Not only the only women, but
women.
Yes,
women of color.
Yes, so there's your next one.
It's so true. It's so
right?
True.
Right.
I mean, all right. So we're short on time.
One last question for everybody on those kinds of things. What re-energizes you? How do you make sure, you know, my comment earlier was self-care is not selfish. So how do you re-energize yourself? We started that in.
I unplug.
I have to unplug, put on some sneakers, and go.
That's it.
A mine little outdoor time.
Yeah. Mine is consistent, constant inspiration. I'm constantly feeding myself positive, and that's what I do every day.
And I have to sometimes find my own little space, my own little place, my own little world. Family does that for me. And also, you know, I guess family is the biggest part, but finding really inside what's going to have you disconnect. And really, I was going to add another piece, but that's good.
Yeah. So for me, self-care is about me, right? So taking the work out of it, taking the family out of it, it's staying true to the time out that I block for myself, whatever that looks like. And disconnecting, sometimes it's a facial. Sometimes it's getting my hair done. I'm not even going to lie. No judgment here. Like, that's
I'm
what I usually do.
Guy.
I'm telling you. Sometimes it's that, but it's really disconnecting and allowing yourself that time just not to be on. We are on all the time. It's allowing yourself in the waking hours to be disconnected and let your brain think about other things.
Mm-hmm. You all honored us this morning by coming and proved to us that if we did a panel and a focus on strong women, you would come, and I'm so grateful for that. But I'm even more grateful, and I hope you'll help me show it to these four amazing women. Hey, I hope you enjoyed listening to Anita, Kathy, Danielle, and Amy as they shared, you know, their thoughts on leadership and kind of the changing nature of that, and hopefully dispelled some rumors, some long-held beliefs, some things that we were all just kind of getting wrong. You know, one of my favorite things about these first leader breakfasts and evening events that we do, beyond the fact that the evening events always have a mixologist at them, but you know, one of my favorite things is it's really started as an internal process. We wanted to burden our team with knowledge. You know, there's about 30 of us now at Southwest Michigan First. So if we can bring in great leaders to help teach our team and then invite the community in, we had almost 100 people at this event. And so it both grows our organization and grows the community's impact. You know, Carla, what were your kind of thoughts on it?
You know, Ron, I just loved how just raw and honest these ladies were with their answers. I think it can be scary to be up in front of a group of people. And with everything going on in just the world today with gender issues in the workplace, and I thought that they just handled themselves really well and really were really real about their experience. And it's such a positive and uplifting way to kind of lean into the changing workplace.
Yeah, it was clear why all of these people were early breakers through, is the wrong word, where they broke the gender barriers in their professions early on. You know, to hear, you know, Anita and Amy, who happened to work at both the Stryker at the time, talk about how there were meetings in the beginning of their career where they were the only two women in the room, and they were only two women of color that sometimes that they would ever see in a week. And so to know that these women have broken the barriers for all of us to be better leaders, our organizations to be better, and frankly, for all of us just to be happier and enjoy each other for the people we are, not the gender that we were born with.
Yeah, there was certainly a lot to be learned from these women. And we just thank you for leaning in and listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's session.
Hey, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.